Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Amen. What a beautiful morning. I'm sure it was winter yesterday. Did you notice that? It's funny, too, because I got a Christmas card. I don't know how I'm getting a Christmas card this late in the year, but when I was in college, in the theater department, you have a lot of people that will come and try to participate in a production, kind of just get a feel for it and what that's about. And one of the gals that I knew back from my theater days, she sent this Christmas card, and it just came, and it's kind of odd. She went into radiology, but she sent the Christmas card, and it's an X-ray of her chest. I thought, this is a little unusual, but it showed her heart was in the right place. I've been waiting to tell it for, oh, never mind. That was a good one. Welcome, greetings, and our people online. We are virtually streaming the service, and we're looking for some upgrades. We're going to be upgrading the service a little bit about streaming. That doesn't mean those of you in the pew should stop coming and whatever, but we are part of a community that's broader than just us here, so we celebrate both those present and those worshiping virtually whenever and however. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of the things coming up this weekend, a relatively routine week. Do we have any other things that we need to be announcing, special things for the good of the agenda? Michael, if you'd come down here. Our lay delegate, Miss Melba Taylor, please.
For all any of you who are on the staff parish committee, and have a clergy evaluation form to fill out. Diana needs them back by next Sunday.
Okay, thank you. Every year we do an evaluation. I evaluate myself, they evaluate me, and then we see if we agree or disagree or what have you. But it's just a means of accountability and growth and learning and working on things that we're not good at and maybe stopping things that we shouldn't be good at. You know how that goes. So. Other announcements, thanks for the good of the order. All right, I'm thinking there was something else that I was supposed to announce, but it will come to me if it comes to me. If not, we will be in worship. Set that all aside and let us be in worship. Let's stand and say hello to each other as we turn to our call to worship.
Grace for that, Grace.
Me too, thank you.
Peace of Christ, James.
Please remain standing as we join together in our call to worship. Lord, you have gathered your family together. We gather, young and old, full of history and vitality all at once. We are lifelong members and we are new members, each one precious and called to be part of the wondrous works to which you call us. We celebrate our family as we join in worship. Precious Lord, bless our worship and our work in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Please remain standing as we sing together, Over My Head, item 2148 in The Faith We Sing.
I was going to make a comment. You said, this is not, Mike, this is not familiar to you.
In the church, because
okay.
I didn't know it.
So it may not be familiar to any of you. We'll figure that out as we go. So we got Michael on the ukulele, and Barbara's going to do piano, and may not match the music exactly out of there, but the words should be right. So
we're going to sing it like Barbara.
Yeah,
we're going to sing it like Barbara remembers it growing up. So, all right.
Silent here. and I hear music in the air. Must be a God somewhere. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, music in the air. Must be a God somewhere. Oh, when I'm feeling lonely, I hear music in the air. Oh, when I'm feeling lonely, music in the air. Oh, when I'm feeling lonely, I hear music in the air. Must be a God somewhere. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head. On Jesus, I hear music in the air. Oh, when I think on Jesus, I hear music in the air. Must be a God somewhere. Over my head, music in the air. Over my head, there's music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air.
All right, you did great. You did great. About another 20 verses and we'd have her down pat, but thank you.
Please be seated. This morning's first scripture is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Listen for the word of the Lord. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. For those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, and they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nalu. By way of prayers of our concern, we lift all of the prayers on the back of the bulletin as you see them. If there are other prayers of concern, I'd like you to lift them now if you have something else on your minds, on your hearts. I think it's a concern that it's been almost a week since we've heard of any shootings. That frightened me as it dawned on me last night that it has been a little bit of time. It should be a long, long time. And we've become too accustomed, and we've seen too many. Amen? Other concerns about you, your families, the body, the world. We lift all of those, and we lift prayers. By way of celebrations, it was winter yesterday. Pardon me? It was a Colorado spring, according to Renee. Okay, and I certainly agree with that. I do see flowers and trees saying, shucks, it was just a little water. So I'm glad to hear that and see that. And our moisture content is up, and God is good. And all the time, God is good. Do you have other celebrations you'd like to share this morning? Miss Renee has her hand up over there, Michael.
I just wanted to give you all an update. My ankle is so, so healed, and I thank you for all your prayers, and ain't God something.
All right. Ankle healed up. Amen, amen. Michael, Ruella, down here. We need to pick people on opposite sides of the church every time we pick. Give Michael his exercise for the morning. All right. Ruella.
Well, again, thank you for all your prayers for my eye surgery. And I was debating about coming without my sunglasses today, and Larry said, well, maybe you should wear them. So I'm a rock star for one more week.
All right. Rock star in our
midst. Hopefully next week. But I had my post-op, and everything's going great. So.
Yeah, good, good, good. Other concerns? All right. I don't see any others by way of our calendar and birthday anniversary list. Larry Cantor is having a birthday on Tuesday. Is that right, Larry? Yeah. Jim Cantor on Friday. Joey Whitecalf on Friday. How old is Joey going to be? 12. How about that? Good for him. Betty Lutkus on Saturday. Oh, I have down here Nalo Calamini is going to have a birthday on next Sunday. Is that right? He had to check his numbers. Did you see it run through his head? Happy birthday to you, Nalo. You join William Young in celebrating today as your birthday. And you join Sue and Ross Kinney celebrating their 40th anniversary. So those are the birthdays that we have coming up through this week. None listed for next week, the week after, that is to say. Any others? Celebrations, special things? Give us a report on the baby with Beth, maybe Mark with, yeah, hang on, give the microphone to Paya. Oh.
We saw him Friday night. He is doing better. Mom said that he's much, much better, and he's clearing. It takes a while for him because he's breastfeeding.
He had jaundice, and we understand that condition, so we celebrate life and birth in our midst. Amen, amen, amen. Other celebrations in our midst. All right. Join me, if you will. Let's turn to our unison prayer and let us read in unison. Almighty God, hear our prayers as we celebrate the awesome wonder of new life in the springtime around, new life in children born, new life in the risen Christ, new life in each of us, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Lord, as we pray, we lift those who are hurting and in need of your healing balm. Hear our prayers. Help us in our promise to offer your love to all we meet. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving, creating, joyous, almighty God, hear your people gathered. Hear us as we come together here in this place with one another, celebrating the moisture that we've received and celebrating the beauty of nature and celebrating your sanctuary, this place to gather with you, to know that you are present with us, to know that you are present in our world. As we come and gather, we have journeyed through a week filled with life. Life and death and life again. With busyness that seems to consume our every moment and our every thought. Things that could easily distract us. We turn to you, Lord, that you guide us and inspire us and return us to focus ourselves, to listen to where you would speak to us in your still small voice, to be the utterance you would place in our mouth, the words that are like honey on our tongue, that we might offer you, might offer Christ, not only with words, but by our deeds, by our presence, by our love. Lord, we know that we have transgressed. Let us not hold those as you forgive us. And let us strive toward the perfection you call us to. Lord God, you have gifted us Christ in our midst, showing us the perfect journey, the walk of life, the life of truth, the life of justice, the life of righteousness. Help us see how to follow that same path in today's world, how to be agents of your love and care to a world in need, beginning with ourselves and our families, and spreading around the world to the families of Christ everywhere. Lord God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you are always present, that you are always forgiving, and that you are always loving. We come and dedicate the beginning of our week, this morning's worship, beginning with worship of you. And hear us as we gather in worship, as we join our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite Barbara with our offertory.
Thank you, Barbara. Please rise and join with me in the reading of this morning's gospel as it is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Listen for the word of the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you all this time? Philip, and you still do not know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I would, at this time, invite Stephanie and the children.
Big and little.
Yeah, big and little children, Palangi and Tongan children, make your way down to the front, and as we remain standing and join in Stand Together.
Come on, Charlotte.
Thanks for watching Life Changes.
Yes.
I don't know what. When is St. Patrick's? When is St. Patrick's Day?
Is it March?
Was it in March? I'm probably already gone. Felt like doing an Irish jig. The jig didn't feel like doing me, though. I don't know how much of my background you know. Hopefully not as much as some of what you would like to know. Some of those things have been sealed, you know, for the protection of the innocent. No, actually, I am a student of the Iliff School of Theology. Started school in 1987. Interesting, it was my third or fourth career, depends on how many different jobs and occupational things that you want to count. And I was not unlike a lot of the other people there. The class that I was joining us with, the first day on campus, we had all the new students together, and so I met some of the other incoming students. There was a doctor, a state patrolman, several women who had raised their kids and then gone to seminary. So we were not college-age kids. There was one guy who was fresh out of college. He had gone with religious studies and was very active in his church and all of that. He dropped out halfway through the first semester. He said, I haven't lived enough. I'm not quite ready to be a pastor. I had to laugh a little. Some of us had lived enough, maybe too much. I don't know how that works, but we were all the new students coming in. And they had chapel that morning. Iliff has a beautiful little chapel. And weekly, they have a chapel service. But for the new incoming students, and it may have been a Wednesday, which is when chapel is held, but we all went up to the chapel and we squeezed in there and sat down. And while we're sitting there waiting for everything to get started, kind of like around here, you know, you sit in the pews and they do a little of that, you know. Didn't know anybody, but this young guy sitting next to me started chatting with him. And I pointed to I had a question about one of the leaders of the worship service. I said, who is that? Do you know? And he says, oh, yeah, that's Dr. Tinker, George Tinker. He's part Native American, and he leads the studies, ethnic studies, and kind of keeps us aware of some of our roots in that ethnicity and what have you. So we chatted on and off, and you know, I don't remember the whole conversation, but we worshiped together and sang together, shared a hymnal and what have you. And as we're getting ready to leave at the end of the service, I said, you know, my name's Peter. And he says, well, my name's Dana. And so it was kind of nice. I kind of felt like I'd made a friend. And it's Dr. Dana Wilbanks, professor of ethics, one of my professors. And you wouldn't have known it. It was so gracious, so humble. I hope I didn't say anything about any of the staff or the school that was embarrassing, and if it was, I'm sure he took it in stride. It was a good experience all the way around, but I was a total noob. That's modern technology's name for somebody who is brand spanking new at it and making all the mistakes new people make, a noob or a newbie. And I really felt like I was one of those noobs. We were listening to our scripture this morning, and I couldn't help but thinking maybe that's what Philip felt like when Jesus said, I will show you the way to the Father, where I am going. And Philip asked him, he says, you know, what are you talking about? And Jesus says, if you know me, you know my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I wonder if Philip kind of felt like, oh, I should have figured that out. Whoops. Have you ever done something like that? Oh, okay. But it was grace and humility that Jesus speaks to him. And it's with grace and humility that Jesus speaks to us, and that we are just one of them. It just dawned on me. I have my phone on. I haven't turned it off. And I just had a horrible, horrible image of it ringing in the middle. Sorry about that. How did that come up in the middle of the sermon there? That was... Al, we have had an interesting morning so far. It's just getting better, isn't it? Amen? There's a good message that comes out of this encounter with Philip. And that is that Jesus was so unassuming, so humble, and so personable that Philip felt he was one of them and was not God on earth. Sometimes I think people want to back away from religion because they don't want anybody looking over shoulder quite as well as an all-seeing God. And God might be a little bit scary to gaze upon. Oh, woe is me, I have looked upon the eyes of God. I am a man of unclean lips, and I stand in the people of unclean lips. And all of those are reasons to back away, and yet here is Philip with his friend, Jesus. Now, I know most of us, I don't know that that's true of everyone here, but we all have our families, our clans that are our in-laws and outlaws, as I like to call them. Those people that we're related to, whether we're close with them or not. And sometimes they're our very besties, and sometimes we just kind of aren't doing that many things together. And different families are different in that way, and that's all right. But family and clan are one clan, and that is, there is our clan that Jesus started. His family that we are a part of. Now we know he there were the 12 that we know that he called, and he named them apostles. Tradition has named them apostles. The 12, of which one, Judas, died, betrayed him. But of the 11 and those 12, these were his named disciples. They weren't all of them. Next couple of weeks, we will read about an encounter. Jesus encounters a couple of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You might have heard that story. We'll get into that a little bit later on. It doesn't name the disciples because they probably were none of the 12 or anybody we've heard of, but there were a lot of disciples besides the 12. And there were a lot of women in the midst of. Remember, in every Easter story, in every account, every biblical recollection, the first to see Jesus are women. And that's important to note. This is a little bit of a digression from my sermon, but it's worth noting. Jesus was firmly inclusive at a time when people couldn't even conceive it. I'll step out of that role and move on now. So here was his clan, and one of the thoughts that's always come to me after Easter is, did they scatter and how badly? I mean, he was the glue that held them together. You think about it, they were a diverse group. I mean, Andrew was this hayseed, if you will, simple, earth of the earth, good, hardworking soul. Matthew was a publican, a tax collector. There were very theologically astute, well-educated people. Simon was a zealot. He was a warrior. There were all of these combinations of people, and they coalesced around Jesus. After his death, did they split? We know that they were at least together in the upper room when Jesus came to them. So some part of that clan held them together for a time. But that's all right, because then the ministry did what all Christ ministry does to all of us. That is, calls us in, gathers as a clan, and then sends us out into the world. Go out and make disciples of all peoples. While I was at ILF, I've really felt like a noob those first couple of weeks, months, trying to get my feet. Some of the students obviously had known about ILF and knew their way around, and they helped the rest of us very graciously. But it didn't take long before I felt like I was a part of that clan. I came on board pretty quickly, but we need to recognize that when that happens, usually someone has helped us. Consider that, and consider that about inviting and bringing other people to church as we are about inviting. Sitting with them, helping them through the odd things that come up. I don't know how many other churches you've visited, but one of the things that was kind of interesting during seminary, we were required to go to other churches of other denominations and what have you. So out of the blue, I picked out the phone book. We were living in Arvada. There was a Korean Presbyterian church. They spoke only Korean. So we walked up and they greeted us, and I assume that's what they said, because it was in Korean and I don't speak any Korean. But they quickly transitioned to English and got us in and realized we were not Koreans, we were English. And so there was some whispering and some buzzing about, and some people that were good bilingual people began to be near us and surround us and lead us and help us, and it was lovely. The scripture would come up and it was all in Korean, but we could hear and knew where they were in the Bible and get a sense of what they were talking about. And what was even more fun was the hymns. They'd come to a hymn, and it'd be a hymn we all knew. Same thing happened when we traveled to Haiti. We were in Haiti in 1990 on a mission trip, and we went to worship, and the whole service was in Creole. Creole is a Haitian version of French, kind of a blended sort of thing. And I speak no French and zero Creole. But they would start singing the hymns, and we recognized them. Oh, what is this? What is this? You know, it's written there in Korean or in Haitian. And I think, I know the melody. I let me see if I can think the words. And they're singing in their language, and then you have to decide, do I look at the hymnal and try and sing it in their words, or should I sing it in my own English words? And we're all looking at each other. Which way do we do to fit in? What does that take to fit in, to be a part of the clan? The Koreans didn't care. They just smiled and loved having us there. Fed us cookies and goodies afterwards. Lots of smiles. It was family. We went to Haiti, and the people just laughed at us. They just giggled, because we're sitting there trying to figure out the hymns and figure out the words. And they would just laugh. It was lovely. And it was okay. And the gal that was with us was clearly bilingual. She got us to the church, got us all inside, and then she left, went off, sat with her people. And the rest of the church just kind of took us in. I was standing next to this Haitian gal, and she gets the hymnal out, and I'm kind of looking for the hymnal, and she just leans over next to me and opens the hymnal to me like I'm going to figure out what to do with it now. I didn't know the music, and she just smiled and sang, and we sang, and it was worship. I love it when Pastor Neil delivers the prayers. I try to get him to do it often, and if I just had something to blackmail him with, some way I could force him to come and do the prayers every Sunday, I would. Because he does the Tongan prayer first, and I don't speak Tongan. And you know, that's a holy time for me. Because I know he's praying, and I know a gist of what he's praying about. I don't have to hear the words. He's speaking to God on our behalf, and I can pause and hear and meditate and worship. Thank you, brother. Thank you every time. This week I was poking around, and do you know if there are any United Methodist churches in Russia or Ukraine? It turns out that there are Christian churches in both places, but the United Methodist Church is there, but basically underground. They have to worship cautiously, under duress. The disciples were gathered in the upper room, and the door was closed and locked for fear of the Jews. You recall that passage? They couldn't worship openly. It was not allowed. And the first several 100 years of our Christian denomination, Christians were not really allowed until Emperor Constantine converted. Interesting story there. It was actually his wife had converted before him. Women, thank you for leading us. Some of us, our men, are thick-headed. I use the word some politely. But we all come to Christ, and we are part of that clan. Summer hours are coming around, and I don't know about you, but I always enjoy when people are traveling on vacation or whatever. I love traveling and going to different churches on vacation, and intriguingly, we usually choose United Methodist churches to worship in, and we might start stepping out of that. I have been to a couple of synagogues in my lifetime. We might do some more of those, but some other churches that we haven't experienced, but there's hidden ceremonies that you might not know. And it's helpful to be with somebody that can kind of lead you through what they're doing and why. We call them secret handshakes. Those things that only the members know. And one of my favorite churches in Grand Junction, I love dearly, but they have a secret handshake. It's not even printed in the bulletin, but there's a hymn that all of a sudden the whole congregation will stand and they will sing this together, and it's not written down, and they sing it, and you stand there looking around and don't know it, and it's obvious that you don't. They're not trying to single you out. They're trying to share their commonality with this hymn of theirs. But it's easy to feel left out in something like that. Watch how we are about worship. Watch if there are any things that might be impediments to offering Christ and loving and welcoming someone else. Think about that. And think about how it might feel to be that visitor. If someone comes to visit, welcome them, smile with them. If they make a faux pas, laugh with them. It's not like the pastor hasn't made any faux pas. Heck, we could count the number this morning. So it is that's what happens with family. I have made of you a royal priesthood, he said. That's what Nalu read out of the first letter of Peter. I have chosen you as a royal priesthood. It's a scripture that goes back to one of the Psalms and recognizes how God has called us and selected us, and we are part of his family. And what we hear Jesus say, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you are also. And you will know the way to the place where you are going. Celebrate families. Celebrate birth families. Celebrate adopted families. Celebrate college alumni families. Celebrate Christian family. And Christ as the one who holds us together. In his name we gather and pray. Amen. Amen. Last stand. What are we doing for our last one, Barbara?
It's me, O Lord.
All right. You have to do all the hand signals on this now. This is one of Melissa and I's favorites. Stand, if you will. Let's sing our closing.
But it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's me,
it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Hallelujah, Lord.
It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
This morning, I felt like we got here and nothing electronic worked. And I thought, we are in the need of prayer this morning. Pray, I don't know, who do you pray to when all the electronic equipment goes kaplooty? We were going to do it without. We could do it without just us and our hymn books and our Bibles. Amen?
Amen.
We're glad we didn't have to, because we get to invite our people virtually. That community that's greater than those of us gathered here, the community that's greater than this church. Rich is here connecting us with St. Mark's and some other Lutheran churches. Churches connecting with churches that I've served in the past. Churches around the world. Churches in Russia and Ukraine. We are part of that family. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of God and the Son and the Holy Spirit, be that family members that contribute to the greater good, that work with each other to go out and offer Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I invite you to join hands. We'll sing our closing. God's people said, Amen.